Grant our Heavenly Father the word of God may do us good this morning. For Jesus' sake. Amen. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10. One of the most difficult verses in the whole Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 10. It's a good thing all of you have good brains, and because this needs brains as well as the Holy Spirit of God. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. It's an argument that's running, as you can see, and this comes in the middle of it. What in earth does it mean? Well, there are very difficult words in this. The first one is "for this cause." Is Paul talking about what's happened before, or is the cause the angels? What is he meaning there? And then, is he using a catchphrase of the Corinthians when he says power, because the word means authority? Why doesn't he use two or three better words if he means subjection? There are several better words he could have used. It's a puzzle as to why he's used the word power there. And the third thing here is, why bring angels into it at all? It seems a very odd concept to bring angels into it. Well, that's what the verse in front of us we need to look out. But I find this, I've talked to Roman Catholics, and I find they say to me, oh, you're too interested in the meaning of that book. Don't worry about it. Don't go at it all the time. Let the meaning of the book rest. Get the general meaning. And I've noticed a lot of ladies think like that. Don't let's bother with all this going around with fine doctrines and tooth combs going through the Bible. Let's let the thing rest as it is and everybody get their meaning from it. Well, that's all right, but the Bible is given us for two reasons. One, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Everything in it is of profit. Even this verse is of profit, and we need to learn it. And the other thing is, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, the other quote was from 2 Timothy 3:16, in 1 Peter 3:15 it says this, it says we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us. So if somebody comes to you in the street and begins to mock your faith or anything, if it's worth giving an answer, you don't always have to. Answer not a fool according to his folly. But a very few verses later it says, answer a fool according to his folly. And the rabbis said that's why Proverbs wasn't inspired, or they had some doubts about it, because how could it say such contradictory things? But the fact is that sometimes it's not worth answering these silly people. But usually it is, especially if you feel in any sense the person is being real. I was reading just this week, and I think in the Evangelical Times, of a girl giving her testimony who said she was brought up an atheist and she lived an atheist and she loved taunting Christians and asking questions they couldn't answer. And one day she was taken to hear the gospel properly, and she heard it, and it touched her deeply, and she was converted. And what a fight she had with her family. Well, now, I do think that we need to be able to answer questions to people on what does the Bible mean. And that means, sadly, sitting down and having a less than exciting time about it at times. Well, now, you know, remember this, that the Bible is private judgment. Remember when Luther stood up at Worms and said his conscience was bound by the word of God and he could do no other? What he was saying was this: the Pope says something, the whole church says something, the early fathers say something, the whole lot are in agreement, and I alone against the entire church and the entire world say the opposite. And he said, I do it because I have the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. I have illumination both on the word and on my mind by the Holy Spirit. I have true liberty, not liberty to do whatever I like, but liberty given to me by Christ to follow the meaning of Scripture by comparing Scripture with Scripture. That's what he was saying, and he laid down the important principle of Protestantism. One you will find certain Roman Catholics really dislike in us, that is the principle of private judgment. Now, it's gone overboard today, and people say private judgment means you get what you like out of Scripture, how you like, where you like, when you like. And that's all the whole thing is. Well, that is not what we're at. What we're after is comparing Scripture with Scripture by the illumination of God's Holy Spirit, which is given to you as much as to the preacher. Therefore, every time you hear a sermon, what you agree with and what you don't agree with is your own business. It's between you and God. Now, let's go on and have a look at this verse. We've seen the four reasons why we should. It says, for this cause. Now, if you take it backwards, for this cause, and that's the argument from verse 7 onwards, what he's saying is it's for the reason of the woman's subjection to the man. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people who don't like that idea. So they say, no, cause points ahead to because of the angels. And what does it mean? This is why a wife, this is how they feminists translate it, it's one of their translations, ought to have the symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now, what they argue is this. This word authority never means one's own authority, never means somebody else's authority, always one's own authority. So they argue in the New Testament, when it says the woman has authority on her head, it's her own authority. And so they argue very hotly that you cannot find authority, the word for this cause pointing backwards to an argument, but it must always point forwards. Well, now, what do we say to all that? They're saying, therefore, that the woman ought to have the right to lead in worship as long as she covers her head in prayer, in praying and prophesying. And they would say that means preaching, which we would agree. So what does this verse mean? It's a very difficult thing. Well now, the first thing we say is this. If you look in a verse like 1 Thessalonians 3:7, it's worth a look at. There, it's quite definite that for this cause, the same word points backwards and forwards at the same time. If you take 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7, it's very simple. It says, therefore, that's for this cause, the same word, brethren, we are comforted. What comforted Paul? First of all, Timotheus came to him in verse 6 with good tidings of your faith. So it definitely points backwards. And we're comforted over you in all your affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. He's also comforted by the fact that they're standing fast in great distress. So the word can point backwards and forwards there very easily. It isn't a true contention that it always has to point one way. It can point either way or both ways. Now, they then say, all right, that's quite so. But if it points like that, then for this cause, it anticipates something. Now, they argue, and great commentators argue, men like Barrett and Bruce, that means the veil represents the new authority given to the woman under the new dispensation to do things which formerly she had not been permitted to do. So they say this is the authority of the woman in order to preach and to pray and to lead in church and to have authority over the man. That is what they argue the verse ought to mean. And they argue it on the fact that the authority must be her own, not another's. Now, you have to then start on the meaning of Greek. And this is always where it gets difficult. There is a statue, an old, ancient statue in Greece, of the wife of a king, who is the daughter of a king, and the mother of a king. Her husband was called Diodorus. And she has three crowns on her head. And it says, underneath, that she had authority. Now what it means is, she was the daughter of a king and had his authority. She was the wife of a king and had his authority. And her son was a king, and in his authority she stood. Now everybody agrees that. So then the word authority cannot always mean one's own authority. In that case, it clearly meant somebody else's authority. And the woman had the three crowns to prove the fact. It was husband, father and son whose authority she stood on, not on her own. Well, it's worth remembering those things. Furthermore, they say the word power is symbolic. They say this is a symbol on her head of something. And many commentators say that. Well then, all the answer is this. There is no other use of the word power symbolically in the whole New Testament. It just never occurs as a symbol. Power, exousia, is power, authority. And to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When John 1:14, you know the verse well. Well, it means authority. So what is this then here? It is this, that by having the veil on her head, or the hat on her head, she, by wearing a head covering, the woman is telling everyone, I am under the authority of the man. That is what Paul's been arguing straight through. And he'd have to change arguments mid-course to drop that. I'm under the authority of the man, and therefore I share his power and authority. In the man, I, like that queen, the wife of Diodorus, I have power to rule the universe as God gave me in Genesis, and I have my husband's power in everything. So when my husband is exalted, I'm exalted, and if he is brought low, I'm brought low. And that is how it is. When the gospel first got to Myanmar, to Burma, it was taken by an American at the same time as Carey took the gospel to India. And that poor man suffered terribly. We used to have a little boy stay with us when I was young, and he was at school with my brother, and he was the son of a Christian cabinet minister from Burma who'd been turned out by these generals who took over. And he was a Christian, and he wrote the Burmese English dictionary, and he used every illustration from the Bible so that Burmese people would have to read the Bible to understand the dictionary. He deliberately did. He was an old man in the brethren. He was a very clever old man. His son was clever. His son worked as a lawyer for the United Nations, Daryl Hahn, who we had. Now, that man was a direct descendant of the person who helped translate the Bible into Burmese. And at that poor man who translated the Bible, the Burmese caught him because they were against him translating the Bible, and put him in a prison. And the way they were in prison then was they tied his hands to a pole and his feet to a pole and hung him in the prison, month by month. And he was left in prison in North Burma most cruelly over an immense period. His wife didn't even know where he'd gone. She went and looked for him. She found him. She went barefoot because she had practically nothing. And she fed him in that prison, and she looked after him, and she got him out again, at the end alive. Now that is what it means here, authority. She shares all her husband does. And that woman has the exalted position that that man did in Burma. They remember her, the Christians, who with great joy, just as the Christians in India remember Carey with great, great gratitude. And in a way, they don't remember any other English person, practically. They still owe him a great debt, and they know it. Now, that's how it is. So then, she rules through him. Now, there's another argument used against this power or authority here. That is, it means liberty. And it means that the woman is at liberty from the man's authority. And some say, quite a few say, including quite big commentators, that this means the woman has her own power and is at liberty from the man's power. Well, what do we answer that? Well, the answer is this. There is one argument running through these verses, and the way that argument fits is if Paul is taking up a catchphrase of the Corinthians. One of their beloved catchphrases was that they had liberty. Do you remember how they used it? They go on and on and on emphasizing their liberty. It's in chapter 8, verse 9. And Paul takes it up. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. In chapter 6, verse 12, if you look at it, he has it there again. All things are lawful unto me. Their liberty was what they went under. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He's taking up their words and their idea of liberty. And what he's saying is, you say I have power over myself to do exactly what I will as I will, and that is what the feminists are arguing this word means here, that a woman has her authority to do just as she pleases, and it fits in with the modern church. But that's an impossible meaning. Because Paul is not arguing against all he's said. He's not changing horses in midstream in his argument. What is he teaching then here? He's taking their catchphrase and saying that one of those rights that a woman has is to wear a symbol of authority, the authority of the man, on her head. And to show everyone that she is the co-ruler of the universe, and the one who has power through him everywhere. But they take it differently. They come back again and they say, it's a wife, not a woman that's meant here. It's true, the word is the same in Greek. And so it doesn't mean the man is an authority, but only the husband. This is what evangelical feminists argue. That it isn't. They don't argue that the woman is under anybody's authority, but the man, and so, her husband. So they say this applies only to wives. But Paul is arguing about the whole church. He's not arguing about husbands and wives. And what he's saying is the man has authority in the church, and this is the woman's way of recognizing it. It's not just the married women. It's quite obvious Paul is arguing from creation and nature. Now he then goes on to reinforce this second argument because of the angels. Now, plenty of guesses are made by commentators as to what he means. There are all sorts of guesses at it, but it isn't the desire of angels to see things, it's this. What he's saying is, the angels recognize the order of heaven, the order of the Church of God, and the angels, because of them, we keep this order in the Church of God. So, God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man is the head of the woman, and the angels watch that. And that is what he's really saying here, as far as anybody can understand his meaning. I wouldn't like to say that was the last verse, the word that could ever be said on that verse, but that is a sensible and right meaning of it, and I'm sure that's one of the things he meant. So don't you feel it's right that this is so? That she covers her head because the angels want to see the order of heaven and the church maintained. That is what it is. Remember the Benedicite. We don't sing it now. When I was a boy, I used to sing the Benedicite. We used to say the Benedicite is a nicety to relieve the tedium. And that's how it rather looks. It's instead of the tedium. But it says, O ye angels of the Lord, bless ye the Lord. And that is in the Benedicite. Chrysostom about this verse said, Knowest thou not that thou standest in the midst of angels? With them thou standest, with them thou chattest. Dost thou speak to another? What he was meaning is the habit of talking to each other in church. But in the early church it got terrible. They got to cheering the preacher and shouting 13th apostle and stamping their feet. All very bad for preachers and all very foolish. And they would rush in and out of church and talk to each other, and they had a curtain to keep the people who weren't baptized back, and the others came in. It was absolute chaos. And there was a lot of, you see, when Chrysostom was preaching, he was preaching to the entire town. The whole town came to hear him. And when he was expelled, the whole town walked out with him into the countryside. And so it was. It was very different. Now, some of the guesses made about this is this, that it's Genesis chapter 6 verse 2, and that the angels, they say they're angels, they don't know, lusting after the women at the beginning. Well, that's a guess. The rabbis hold that absolutely as the meaning of that verse. But I don't think sensible people think that that could be the only meaning that you could give to that verse, or even a proven meaning. Another idea of the early fathers was to examine the two words here, the word for angels and the word, and say it really meant two things. There was outside angels. Well, and saying that the woman ought to cover her head because of people outside. Well, that is not a very good meaning of it. You see, also they said, and some of the early fathers held this, that the angels meant the presbyters of the church. And because of the presbyters, the women were to cover themselves up. Well, I don't think that's so. It seems a very odd and strange meaning to it. They guess and guess and guess, the women, at what it means here. Now, the subject then is the same in the next verses, and we must leave it there. But just one thing I'd say to you, I want to follow God fully. Was done in the Old Testament. I've always wanted to follow God like Caleb, and don't you? Whatever God says, listen to it. However strange it is, it's important. Just follow God all the way, and you'll never regret it. Amen.